Blog Talk Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين.
I want to bring to our attention achievement publication that has been produced and is produced for our community, mainly for our community, but it will serve anybody who wants some help from the material that are put into this publication. And the book is called The Language of Revelation, Lugatutenlil, language of translation. And it is by a brother that I have known to be dedicated and devoted to the study of Quranic Arabic and the teaching of that subject to our students and to grown-ups as well. And that is Brother Sadiq Jahad. I think most of us know him here. Brother Sadiq Jahad, will you please stand and face the audience? So this is Brother Sadiq Jahad. So I highly recommend this book for you all who are studying, grown-ups, but also for our youngsters who are studying in separate organized Quranic studies classes, and who are also studying in the school system, our school system, Claire Muhammad school system, Claire Muhammad schools, and like the one in Atlanta and Washington, D.C., Chicago, and many places. I highly recommend this book, The Language of Revelation. It's Quranic, Arabic, with lessons, studies, to improve your ability to read the Quran and get more understanding and to qualify yourself, inshallah, to be a teacher one day. Because out of you, from you who are interested in Quranic Arabic, we are going to get our next generation of teachers and imams and leaders, you know. So Allah be with you all and bless you to benefit from these wonderful projects and publications that our community is producing. This is one. We have others. We have others that I have seen, and grateful to Allah for students and scholars like our brother Sadiq Jahad. Congratulations, my brother.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. This is Imam Sadiq Jahad. You can secure the book by going to our website, www.SadiqJihad.com. That's SIDDEQ Jihad.com. Or you can send a postal money order or any type of money order to Post Office Box 401165, Redford, REDFORD, Michigan, 48240. My email address is Sadiq, that's SIDDEQ at MSN.com. And the phone number where we can be reached is 313-532-5246. I thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. We know that to mean the praises to Allah, the
The praise is to Allah, the guardian, the evolver, cherisher, and sustainer, nourisher of all of the worlds and of all of the systems of knowledge. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lahu, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. That is, I bear witness that there is no God but the one God, Allah alone, and there is none like unto him. And I bear witness that Muhammad is indeed his servant and his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. That is, the prayers and the peace and the blessings be upon Muhammad forever and ever, and upon his companions and those who follow his way, the righteous all, meaning those who are other than Muslim, who Allah says has a ajrun adheem, a magnificent reward in the life to come. And in fact, that is my topic today, to speak to you about the heaven and the earth. And as a beginning, I like to recite from the Surah Qaf. When I thought about this topic, that is the first surah that came to my mind that deals with the life to come. Well, Allah says in the Quran, Qaf. Now, this letter Q, it has what we call a medda on it. If you read the Quran, it's a little line right across the top of it. And it means to make the sound 4 to 6 beats or even longer. It's called a medda. And it's beautiful to know that the Arabic language is structured in such a way that there's a logic as to why they call this or why they call something else. So the word for ink, one of the words for ink in Arabic is midadun, midadun, coming from medda, mim and dal. So why do they come up with the noun ink from medda? Because ink causes things to last a long time. I can be dead and gone. Thousands of years after my death, people are reading what I said. Praise be to Allah. So you see the logic of the language, and it's a beautiful thing to behold. Praise be to Allah. So this letter Qaf, a lot of times people say, why do you want to talk about this? But I feel remiss if I didn't. The letter Qaf in this particular surah, it appears 57 times. 19 times 3 is 57, I believe. And I know all of the surahs in the Quran that has these letters or so-called mystical letters that the so-called fuqaha and the ulama say no one knows what they mean. All of those chapters that begin with these letters, if you divide them up by 19, it comes out even. So the fuqaha didn't do that. Rashid Khalifa didn't do that. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he didn't do that. Allah himself did that. The Surah 19, Qaf, Ha, Ayn, Ya, and Sad. Those are five letters. Five letters. Add them up, divided by 19, even multiple again. So Allah did this. And so you might say, what value does it have? The value it has to my soul is that it increases my knowledge and belief and faith that this book is directly from the Lord of all the worlds. Then the next ayah says, Wal Quran il Majid. By the glorious Quran. Allah is sworn by this Quran. And if you notice, he says Quran and Majid. And I've mentioned it here, I think. I know I've mentioned it on the radio. In fact, we're on Blog Talk Radio right now. That Allah never calls this book Quran al-Muqaddus or Quran al-Qudusan. Qudus means holy. He never calls it the Holy Quran. Right here on the front, they even gave it a different name, the Holy Quran, right? So why not call it what Allah has called it? He calls it Quran al-Kareem, probably Quran un-Kareem. He calls it Quran al-Majid. He calls it El-Furqan. That was distinguished between right and wrong, and other things. It could very well be that the Muslims say, well, Holy Bible, Holy Quran. Allah knows best why they, you know, opted to do that, you know. But I believe that we should be purists in the sense of calling it what Allah called it, you know. Allah says that He is our Maulana, our Maulana, or Anta Maulana. And we make the dua in the Surah Baqarah, the last of the ayahs of that surah. Wa anta maulana, and you are our maulana, Allah. Then you go to Pakistan and they call the religious leader the maulana. You see, things like that. When Allah already told you to say that you are my maulana, telling Allah, you are our protector, that's what it is. So we know that I can't protect you. You can't protect me, you know. To some degree, you know, but not ultimately. If Allah want me to be knocked off, it's going to happen, right? Praise be to Allah. So continuing here, Allah is swaying by this book. But they wonder that there has come to them a warner from among themselves. So the unbelievers say, this is a strange thing. Have a shayin ajib. This is a strange thing, you know. Abdullah Yusuf Ali said, this is a wonderful thing. But why would the unbelievers say it's wonderful, you know? So ajib could be translated as wonderful and also strange. So I would like to insert, this is a strange thing to the unbelievers. So you done sent a flesh and blood man like Muhammad to us, and you done made contact with this man, and he was just a common dude around us, and now you done said that he's a messenger, and he received some message on high, you know. It was a strange thing to the believers, you know. And then you hear it in the Quran where it says, why didn't he just send a messenger from the leaders of the town, one of the leaders of the town, you know, just a regular common person that's had a lot of goodness about him. Why didn't they send it to the leader, you know? This is the cry of the unbelievers. And then further they say, what? When we die and become dust, shall we live again? And what is he talking about, you know? We're going to become dust in this earth and we're going to come up out of that dust and live again? And he said, that is a sort of return. Far from our understanding. It says, Velika Rajun Ba'id. Far from our understanding. And then Allah says, we already know how much of them the earth takes away. With us is a record guarding the full account. So if you just read that in the English, you may miss the message. But Allah is saying to you and I that, the earth took a part of you away, but the part that I'm going to judge, I got that. You see, yeah, the earth take you away, you go into, the ground, and your body, you know, breaks down, and the argon gas goes up in the air, and the phosphorus and all that, you know, give the worms a little, you know, sustenance and all of that. But that part is not the part that Allah is going to judge anyway. But Allah says that He has the part that's going to be judged. He says, "Wa indana kitabun hafid." With us is a record guarding the full account. I mean, everything that you and I did. So I'm not a person here to try to scare you or anything like that, but I can't scare you no more than what Allah can scare you for sure, you know. So I'm going to say some things in this particular surah that scares me, you know, makes me least conscious of it, you know, especially as we get older, you know. A lot of times when you're young, you don't think about your demise, you know. But I know that the life to come is shorter than what I already lived if things go, you know, as it usually goes, you know. Praise be to Allah. But wouldn't it be beautiful if I had the mind when I was a young dude or a young person, trying to relate to the young folks, and I was conscious of my death, you know, when I was young, you see. So the more and more we're conscious of death, the more and more we can be productive, inshallah, in our life. So right now, I'm in a race against time, you know. I want to fulfill what's in my spirit and what's in my heart as soon as possible. ASAP, as they say, you know. Praise be to Allah. So when you get, you know, our age, I know real old man, you have back pain some days, your shoulder hurting, your arm hurting, and it's almost like, maybe I would be better off if I had my arm cut off, you know. These kind of things come into your mind when you're older, you know. And I reflect upon Maryam when she was pregnant with Isa ibn Maryam. That pain was so excruciating. She said she wished that she was not even thought of, not even in existence, because the pain was so great. So So we experience these kind of things here in the life. Praise be to Allah. So then it goes on to say here, but they deny the truth when it comes to them, speaking of the unbelievers. So they are in a confused state. So in this Surah 50, I can't give it all, right? There's many things Allah is putting on our minds to cause us to reflect. And he says here in the Quran, وَنَزَلْنَا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً مُبَارَكًا فَأَنْبَتْنَا بِهِ جَنَّةٍ وَحَبَّ الْحَسِيدِ. That is, and we send down from the sky rain charged with blessings, and we produce therewith gardens and grains for harvest. And it goes on to talk about some other things. So here it is, we know that I can go right to my pantry and pull a navy bean seed out of the pantry, put it in the ground around this time, and Allah sends the rain charged with blessings down from the sky, and I may go to the Myers, which I did this year, and got me some organic fertilizer from that white bean. You see it pop open and a green leaf come up out of there. Alhamdulillah. So here I myself had the power to take that dead bean off of my pantry shelf and cause it to come to life. But you know I'm using what Allah has already made. So Allah, he makes this in our minds very, very conscious. And he says, you put the seed in the ground. Who causes it to grow? See, Allah asks these kind of questions about that. So praise be to Allah. Allah is letting us know that if he created us the first time, then the second time is easy. It's even more so easy. Praise be to Allah. So it goes on to say here, I'm skipping a few ayahs here. This is the 11th ayah. As sustenance for Allah's servant, we give new life therewith to land that is dead. Then it says, thus will be the resurrection. Kadhalika, pardon me. فَذَلِكَ الْخُرُوجُ, you're coming up out of the death state. So you know as well as I know, some people have the mind that when I go into the ground, my body and all of that, when I get resurrected, I'm going to be in the same body, you know. Some have a tendency to believe that, you know. But what if I was blown up in a plane and my body just went to smithereens? Do you think still that I would come up and Allah would cause all of those particles and all of my physical flesh to come together and judge me? Some people believe that, you know. But we have all kind of evidence in the Quran where Allah is telling you and I that we don't need the physical body for him to give us the judgment. We don't need that. Praise be to Allah. Allah doesn't need it. So we know that this soul that is within this physical body, it has the characteristic given by Allah to come up out of the body and have a conscious state in the life to come without the body. Praise be to Allah. So you can see why Muslims don't have the mind of doomsday. So why Allah let this person get killed? Why Allah let that person get killed? Because we know there's a life to come. And we know that Allah has said to us, he is never unjust to any of his creatures. So if a 2-year-old baby or a 4-month-old baby got killed in the hurricane or the tornado, then we know that that person has sustenance and peace in the life to come with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is highly glorified and exalted. Is he? Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. Our Lord, cause not our hearts to swerve and deviate after you have guided us aright, but bestow upon us mercy from your presence. For surely you are the grandest of the givers. Ameen. Allahumma nasta'inuka wa nasta'gfiruka وَنُؤْمِنُ بِكَ وَنَتْوَكَلُّ عَلَيْكَ وَنُثْنِي عَلَيْكَ الْقَيَا. O Allah, we ask for your help. We seek your forgiveness. We believe in you and we trust in you. and we extol and exalt you in the best manner, and we are thankful to you, Allah, and we are not ungrateful. Praise be to Allah. Ayah 21 in the same Surah 50. I hope I'm whetting your appetite when you go home and read it. English is good, but the Arabic is even better. And there will come forth every soul, with each will be an angel to drive and an angel to bear witness. And it will be said, thou wast heedless of this, now have we removed thy veil. It's not hijab used here. The word is gitar ata, your veil. And sharp is thy sight this day. Meaning that if you didn't believe that there's a life to come, you're going to know real clear on the day of judgment. We're going to know very, very clear. Praise be to Allah. And then here's a part of it that really should affect our spirits. It says, one day we will ask hell. That's all Allah said. We will ask hell, art thou filled to the full? It will say, are there any more to come? Is there any more of you, any of them else? That we got a place for them here in the hellfire, you know? Praise be to Allah, you know? So I remember learning some years ago, when you get mad at a person, instead of saying hell, we would say, go to 7734. I don't know if all of you know that. Some of the young people may not know that. But 7734, you know, you flip it around, it's a real distorted version of H-E-L-L, you know? Praise be to Allah. And I remember I heard the song maybe once or twice. Real nice song, real nice beat. And it was written by Farrakhan. And the song was, a white man's heaven is a black man's hell, you know. And when you hear that right away, you think of it as being, you know, a physical heaven and a physical hell. But we lived in a physical hell, you know. And we're getting out of it, inshallah, the material hell that we're in. But you know as well as I know, a lot of times people that don't have material might, they still have great spirit and great love for God and love for each other, like some of the African nations and whatnot. They don't have a whole lot, but they have love for Islam, they have love for Allah, and they have a sense of peace. So really, that's the whole thing that we want. We want peace, so we should see heaven as a state of peace. But at the same time, material peace and the spiritual peace together. That's what we want as we live. And you know, during the first resurrection, I'm sure most of you who are, were there, I came in 1973, 2 years before Elijah Muhammad died, and they would say, they would quote the Bible, Ecclesiastes 9:6, and it says, just as a cloud is consumed and fades away, so it is with man. He is no more when he reaches the grave. And then they would say, when you're dead, you're done. Right? They would say that behind it, right? And so I used to it kind of quiz my spirit when I would hear, you're dead, you're done. I always had it in my mind that I believe it's some kind of life to come. You know, instinctually, I had that in my spirit. So when they would say that, I said, I don't believe that one. But I never, you know, really voiced it too much to people, you know. So then you have this old phrase which says, a living dog is better than a dead lion. I heard it was maybe a part of Aesop's fables. I'm not sure. But what does that mean? A living dog is better than a dead lion. You know, a lion is a beast, right? So if he's dead and he was a beast, then hey, you know, he goes to the hellfire. If he was a beast like human being, we're talking, you know, the lion's share, you know how the nature of the lion is, he just devours the prey. And even when he devours the prey, he sometimes might bite his brother, his sister, his mother, while he's trying to get the meat, right? Y'all seen him do it? But after they get the meat, they lick each other's wounds. Human beings don't even do that, you know, just let him die on the ground. You know, the raven had to tell the brother of Abel, scratch the ground, say, hey, you're supposed to bury him, just leave him lying out on the ground, you know. So you can see that the human being can become lower than the beast, literally, you know. And so I take that little parable to mean that if I'm a dog and I'm messed up right now and I'm still living, I got hope to change from being a dog and a low-life person. So all of us, since we're living, we have hope. We have hope. And many of us, as we sit on the floor and as I stand here, you know and I know that we did a lot of stuff that we should not have done. And we know, too, that if Allah has it, we will be able to have His mercy. But to ensure His mercy, we should be about the business of trying to do as much good every day, every hour, right now, on into our demise, our removal from this physical earth, inshallah. So I encourage you, as I encourage myself, to start giving more money to good causes. Start giving more effort to protect what is right. Be a fighter for right, a fighter for truth. And as I indicated, let us give more money and more devotion. Let's look at this place as being our house. You pay mortgage on your house, you pay rent when you where you live. So if we start investing in this place more, it's going to help us all. We need more Muslims. We have a lot of older people here. We need young people here. And we know that young people many times are maturely driven, so we need to build a new place, something new, something fresh that will help encourage them to come, inshallah. So in continuing the khutbah here, we have a few ayahs in the surah 14. Oh, time has really left me here, so I have to read the English. And it says, but those who believe, speaking of the heaven now, but those who believe and work righteousness will be admitted to gardens beneath which rivers flow, to dwell therein forever. With the leave or permission of their Lord, their greeting therein will be salam, will be peace. And then the next ayah says, seest thou not how Allah sets forth a parable? A goodly word is like a goodly tree, whose root is firmly fixed and its branches reach to the heavens. It brings forth its fruit at all times by the leave of its Lord. So Allah sets forth parables for men or mankind in order that they may receive the admonition. We want to receive this admonition. We know that there's a life to come, and we want our record to be as clean as possible from here on in. We want it to be clean. We want it to be a record where here was a turning point in Sadiq's life. Here's a turning point in Muhammad's life where he's put on his mind that he was going to try to do as much good as he could. Or much good as she could. And the parable of an evil word is that of an evil tree. It is torn up by the root from the surface of the earth. It has no stability. Falsehood. Wickedness. And then it says, Allah will establish in strength those who believe with the word that stands firm in this world and in the hereafter. But Allah will leave to straight those who do wrong. Allah doeth what He will. وَيَفَلُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ. That is, Allah does whatever He wants to do. In fact, one of the ayahs said He is the فُوَلُّن لِمَا يُرِيد, the professional doer without any restriction to all that He wants to do. That is Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Highly glorified and exalted. Is He. So a couple more ayahs and then I'll be through. You know, many times when we mention the name Muhammad, we say Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, right? And most of you might have heard me say it's not salam, it's salama, it's a verb. So if you don't want to put the fatha on the end of the meme, you just say salam, but not salam. It's a different word. So we are sending these blessings upon Muhammad. We want Allah to bless him and bless him and bless him and bless him, right? But why do we do this? Because there's a verse in the Quran that commands us to do it, right? It's the Surah 33, verse 56, where it says, Inna Allaha malaikatahu wa yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allah and his angels sends blessings upon the prophet. And then it says, O you who believe, send you blessings on him and salute him with all respect. Okay. Now, you know as well as I know that a lot of times if you mention the name Muhammad and you don't say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, especially amongst the non-African-Americans, they think you did a tremendous wrong because you didn't mention it, you know. So if I'm mentioning Muhammad's name 10 times in a khutbah, and I know that I only have but a half hour, if I keep saying that, then I'm going to take away from the time that I can say something that's, you know, pointed or what I want to say, you know. So if I don't say it verbally, and I'm already aware in my life that we should do this, that should be sufficient. There's another, you know, tradition that we have where when the name Allah is mentioned, many of the times we say, as I said earlier, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, highly glorified and exalted is he. I didn't say ta'ala. A lot of us mistakenly say ta'ala like we think that's Allah in that phrase. But ta'ala, that means exalted and lifted up. Subhanahu, highly glorified is he. Wa ta'ala, and he is lifted up high above what you may want to compare him with. You see, whatever we think of Allah, he's more exalted than that, you know. That's what the message is in that phrase. And it's what we call a six-form verb. He's up here, exalted. I don't mean physically. And we, or whatever it is always going to be beneath Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. And it says here, and those, Abdullah Yusfali says this, those who annoy Allah and his messenger. So right away, you know that Allah cannot be annoyed, right? He cannot be annoyed or frustrated or anything like that. So Abdullah Yusuf Ali did a disservice by saying that Allah can be annoyed. So before I came here today, I checked the translation by Hibi Omar's parents. And they said, Allah and those who malign Allah and his messenger and the believers is being referred to. So malign means to criticize somebody or something in a spiteful and false or misleading way. And so we do know, you know, that happens, you know, in our minds where we'll say, oh, Allah is dead, God is dead, you know. Or we'll say something like, this little boy got killed over here. Why didn't Allah stop that tornado from killing the two-month-old boy? You know, something like this, you know? So I just wanted you to have that correction in your mind in the Surah 33, that Allah does not have any state where he's being annoyed. And you know, I can remember Elijah Muhammad's, I'm closing, I can remember Elijah Muhammad's son, Emmanuel, he came here years ago. Some of you may have been here. And he was trying to justify that Allah was a physical being. And in the Bible it says, and those people have become a smoke to my nose. He said, see? He said, you got a nose, you know. Someone like this, you know. So we don't ever want to put Allah into a physical state. So I pray Allah, I did say something of value.